chapter 12. We'll also make our way to Isaiah chapter 35 and John chapter 4. If you'd like to bookmark your Bibles or make a note, those are the places we will be going. Hebrews 12. And as we always do, let's pray before we study God's Word. Lord, I don't think we can thank you enough for the Scriptures, for the Bible. Lord, for those of us who have read it, studied it, considered it, it has changed our lives, radically changed our lives. And we're reminded this morning and every week that as we open your Word, we are presented with a great privilege, a great opportunity to hear from the heart of God, to hear from the heart of heaven. And Lord, let us not read this book as a bunch of old stories, things that happened to saints of the past, but Lord, help us to glean scriptural truth, absolute truth, written in your Word for us to apply today. God, help us not to be hearers of your Word and not doers of your Word. Help us to hear what you say. And then, more importantly, help us to do what you say. Knowing that you will be with us, knowing that you will empower us to fulfill your purposes in your Word, though it may be difficult at times, to you be the glory and the honor and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Preventative maintenance. Such an important thing. Such an important practice or principle that we really probably put into place and put into practice in our lives without really even knowing it. I looked up the definition of preventative maintenance, and one of them says this. Preventative maintenance can be described as maintenance of equipment or systems before any fault occurs. Again, can be described as maintenance of equipment or systems before any fault occurs. What are the things that require preventative maintenance in your life? Perhaps this. Fresh oil in your vehicle, in your car. Every 3,000 miles, right? Jiffy Lube will tell you. Make sure you pull in and get your oil changed. Not when the pistons come flying out the engine. Not when the motor seizes up, but on a regular basis. For some of us, regular exercise helps us keep physically fit. Regular. That's the hard part. We'll get to it Monday, right? Well, if you own a home, clean air filters for our heating and cooling systems ensure that the system will work properly. Time off from work for our mental health. Very important, isn't it? For some of you, you're probably thinking, I need to plan a vacation when I get to work tomorrow. See, those things in our lives that we do before a problem happens, not after the fact. See, once you have a nervous breakdown, a vacation isn't going to help you very much. Once your vehicle does seize up, oil and putting all the oil in the world into it isn't going to bring it back to life. No, we do some things in life to prevent certain situations or occurrences to happen. See, there are many other things of preventative maintenance, but you get my point. But I want to go beyond the physical, even beyond the emotional, but the spiritual. What about when it comes to your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you do to prevent fault from happening? What do you do to prevent difficulties to happen in your tomorrows? Are you preparing? Are you strengthening? Are you doing some preventative maintenance in your walk with the Lord? See, your relationship and your connection with God must be strong before the trial comes. That must be strong before the tragedy happens. It must be strong, your confidence, your faith, your trust in God, in Jesus, before whatever is going to happen happens. If it's not there, my friends, when the tragedy comes, when the difficulty comes, you're going to fall apart. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to go why it happens. See, we can very easily and very quickly think that when things happen in our lives negatively, oh, God must be trying to get me. God must be trying to certainly show me something, but perhaps it's just God saying, I still am here. I still want your attention. I still want you to think of me, look to me, and rely upon me. Even just this morning, a dear friend came to me and said that he felt the Lord had put upon his heart something to encourage him, but also to encourage me. In my walk with the Lord as a pastor, as a leader, as one that God has called into the ministry full time, he says, Rob, I feel like God is telling me, and I feel like he also put your name upon my heart, that God says, don't forget to have personal time with him on your own. What do I mean? See, what happens for us pastors, us ministers, is we prepare a lot of Bible studies. We prepare devotions for our staff. We are constantly in the Word of God doing something for someone else that many times we neglect the very relationship that started us on this journey with Jesus Christ from the beginning. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. It can happen to you in your walk with the Lord. You kind of set the Bible down after Sunday. After, you know what? The Bible goes under the seat in the car so you can get to lunch, and then it comes back out next Sunday, pulling out of the car. Oh, it's a little dust on it. No. See, it doesn't matter if you memorize this book. I think it's a good thing to do. But I don't think if you memorize the book, it's any better for your relationship with God unless it's gone from your head to your heart and lived out in your life. That's the difference. That's the preventative maintenance, my friends, is encouraging us, encouraging you and me as Christians to say, God, I want to stay close to you. I want to make sure I do some preventative maintenance in my life so that I'm ready for what's going to happen. Because the Bible very, very, very clearly, through the mouths of Christ, says, you know what's going to happen in your life? You will have tribulation. Sorry to remind you of that. It's not a great promise out of the Word of God, but it is a promise. You will have tribulation. Question is, how will you get through it? Only through with Jesus Christ. See, the next section of chapter 12, as I studied it, I couldn't get around the thought or the idea that the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, make sure you're a strong Christian. Make sure you're prepared for the things that are going to happen. See, remember, and I keep reminding you this, but I think it's so important because we forget it, that the believers here that in the Hebrew believers, the Christians that were used to be faithful followers of Judaism, we're being reminded, listen, your faith is in Jesus Christ. The things that are happening to you in your life that are difficult are not because God is mad at you, but because you are a Christian, and that reason only. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, now I want to remind you, since we've been starting chapter 12, to run a race. Run a race, and run in such a way that you obtain the prize. Run in such a way that you cross the finish line. Because it doesn't matter if you run if you don't cross the finish line. It doesn't matter if you go halfway around the track and then step off. You didn't finish. And so the writer here is saying, listen, do some things in your life to make sure you stay on course, to make sure you stay on your pace in life. See, the next section of chapter 12, we will see three things that preventative maintenance can do for us, can do for us in our lives. Look with me, if you will, Hebrews chapter 12. In fact, verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. That's it. That's bringing me your attention. These are the scriptures I want us to look at this morning that I believe remind us of preventative maintenance. Remind us of preventative maintenance. And if you allow me the opportunity, I would like to read this very same area of scripture in a different translation to help us get the bigger picture of what the writer is saying, because there's a lot that's going on in these verses. I'm going to read it this way. Also verse 12 through verse 17. Listen to me. It says, so don't sit around on your hands, nor dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as to glimpse at God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discord. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. But by then it was too late. Tears or no tears. The idea, the principle here, is that still within the context of running, the writer of Hebrews is saying, guys, get up. Start moving. Don't get in that lethargical state. Don't stop participating in this thing called Christianity just because things might get difficult. It happens to all of us. We get to that place in a season in our walk with the Lord when everything just seems to be closing in around us. And what do we want to do? We want to lock ourselves in our room and turn out the light and close the shades and just chill. It's like, can life pause for a minute? Anybody like a pause button on their life? It's like, where is the remote that says, stop me for a week? Doesn't happen, does it? We might stop, but God, the world keeps on going. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, don't stop. In fact, get up, get moving, encourage one another. And that's what we're seeing. Three things, again, that preventative maintenance are going to do to help us. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, preventative maintenance helps me maintain my physical condition. Listen. Preventative maintenance helps me maintain my physical condition. The writer of Hebrews starts in verse 12, says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. The writer of Hebrews, the word therefore in verse 12, connects it to what he's been talking about previously as he's encouraging us to run the race that is set before us. And he's saying, therefore, listen, this is what you need to do. You need to strengthen the weak hands. You need to strengthen the feeble knees. You need to strengthen yourself in those times when things become difficult. Here. See, those who have been beaten down and discouraged by much persecution, we need to strengthen them. We need to encourage not only ourselves, but others. Isn't it always easier to encourage someone else than it is to encourage yourself? So much easier to pray and ask for the grace of God in your life than it is for my life. And that's what's encouraging about Christianity and this thing called fellowship, is we can encourage one another in that. I encourage you, you encourage me, and we both become encouraged in the Lord. So he's saying, those who have been beaten down and discouraged, those whose hands are growing weary, as I'm getting older, arthritis is setting in. It really stinks. Don't get old, you little people. You young people. I didn't mean that, by the way. It's like arthritis. It's like, I didn't do anything. Why does my finger hurt? It's like, anyways, I'm getting distracted. But there are those times when we work and we work and we work and we get sore and we get achy, and that's what the race says. No, and strengthen those weary hands. Strengthen those knees. And certainly when I see the feeble knees, certainly the picture I see in my mind is us getting on our knees before God in prayer. on our knees before God. They're feeble. God, we're crying out. We're praying. We're seeking after you. And we just aren't getting the answers that we want. We're not getting the response from heaven that we want. And sometimes we neglect that thing of that time of prayer, getting on our knees before the Lord. Why? Because we're not getting what we want when we want it. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't. Strengthen those things. When your knees are sore from prayer, pray even more. I find in my life, and it's probably the same in yours, when my focus is removed from my ailments and are fixed upon the things of God, I forget those things. The physical. I forget them. I forget that my back hurts. I forget that my knees are weak. I forget that my hands hurt. I forget why, because my focus is upon God. This is what he's talking about, to maintain a physical condition, to keep on moving, keep on going. Some of you here this morning are giving up. Some of you this morning have lost heart. And the writer of Hebrews is wanting to encourage you, strengthen your hands, which hang down. Strengthen those feeble knees and make straight the path of your feet. What is it saying? Have a purpose, have a direction. Don't just wander aimlessly. Have a direction and a focus. Do you know that people are more encouraged when they have a goal to obtain than when they don't have one at all? If you have no purpose, if you are not setting out this week to do something, anything, even certainly for God, but something. If you have a goal, by Friday you're going to do such and such, then this one, it encourages you, it strengthens you. Set goals for yourself, obtainable goals. Do those things. See, when we see these things that the writer of Hebrews is saying, the strength in the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, we certainly know that the world will beat us down. The world beats down its wounded what? So that it can climb up higher. Not so for Christians. Not so for Christians. Our eyes should be looking around for someone who is weak in the Lord. Looking, someone who knows Jesus Christ, who has faith. We should be looking for those who feel a little downtrodden. Why? Because pressures of life are weighing down on them, and we should come alongside them and encourage them. We should come alongside them, spend some time with them, lift them up. This is what he's saying. Our physical condition. When we look around the room and I look at your faces and I see some smiling and some, when's this over? It's like something's going on in your life. See, now I got some smiles. Something's going on in your life behind that sadness. And it's like, how can the Lord reach that? How can God come? By someone taking notice. By someone paying attention and saying, I need to sit and ask that person, what's going on? No, not so for the Christians. In fact, the writer of Hebrews is actually quoting some Old Testament scriptures. That's our first stop, Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35, turn with me there. We're going to pick up in verse 3. And you're going to tell me to go a little faster because we're already running out of time. Wow, Isaiah 35. Look at verse 3 with me. Tell me this doesn't sound familiar. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. The waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Give me your attention. Wow! When I read this the first time, I felt in my spirit I got a little taller. Not that I need that. But it's like, whoa! The strength that the writer here is saying. Now, here's what's so neat to me. The writer of Hebrews knows the Old Testament scriptures well enough to encourage the Hebrew believers in this very word. And why is that so amazing? Because I think we forget that. It's not like the Hebrew writer is sitting there going, oh, I've got all these scrolls. I'm going to search for a good scripture to put into my message. That's not it. This verse touched his heart. This verse impacted his life in such a way that he was able to encourage the Hebrew believers with this verse. Because no doubt in my mind, And anyway, no doubt in my mind that this verse encouraged him, and he was either reading it or thinking about it. And he's like, this is what the Hebrew believers need. Guys, this is such an amazing and important fact for Christians, that the verses of the Bible are what gonna give strength to people in our lives, to other believers. That's why we should memorize Scripture. That's why we should read our Bibles and think of people when we read it. Because look at this again. I just love the fact that the writer of Hebrews knows the Old Testament Scriptures well enough that he's able to write this. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, say to those who are fearful hearted. Is there anyone here today fearful hearted? Is there anyone here today? I can't help but think, as I was studying this, there are going to be people on Sunday morning whose hearts are fearful, who are anxious, who are uncertain, who are scared. And I am here to tell you today, through the Spirit and through God, that this right here, verse 4, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with a recompense of God. He will come and save you. Highlight that in your Bible, if it's not electronic. Highlight it, underline it, put a star next to it, write your name by it if you have to. My friends, listen to me. Here it is, because I know what's happening. Some people are going, yeah, I'm faint-hearted. Yep, give me something. And I give you that, and you're like, yeah, but he won't. Why do we think that? Why do we think? Because he hasn't. Because it never happens for me. These are the lies that the enemy puts into our hearts that we think, no, I can take this scripture, I can claim it for myself, be strong and do not fear. Yes, I'm going to do that. Be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will. That says will, doesn't it? My Bible says will. Does your Bible say will? Doesn't say might. Doesn't say should. No, he will come with a vengeance. Problem is, he's not going to come when we want him to come. He's not going to come at the time that we got to come. But you know what? What is that saying? God always shows up at the 11th hour. You know, God is never late. God doesn't have an 11th hour. God's timing is perfect. And when you need something in your life, that's when he's going to give it to you. And that's the time you need to rejoice and say, yeah, he did, he showed up. That's the truth, my friends. Listen, I was talking with someone just on Friday. Just on Friday this happened, and when I read this, I was like, oh, this is such strength from God. This person was so down and so discouraged. They were feeling bad for themselves. They were feeling as though years of their life had just been wasted. And it's like, as I'm listening to this, I just wanted to go, bleh. Because that's how we get. We just, when we get down, when we get discouraged, we just want to, bleh, it's nothing. Bad, bad, bad. Negative, 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 right? But then there's this verse. Be strong and do not fear. And I was, when this person was pouring out, I just stopped them in their tracks and I said, listen, God's got great plans for you. Stop believing that lie. You got a whole life. Well, I'm so and so many years old. So what? So what? I think God can let us live for 200 years if he wants. God forbid. But see, there is so much time left in our lives. And when I say there's so much time left, there's only so much time left, isn't there? And the writer of Hebrews is saying, run. Run in such a way that you obtain the prize. Run in your life. Be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance. How's he going to come? When's he going to come? How's it going to happen? I don't know. But when it does happen, you're going to stand back and go, this was amazing. This was amazing. And I'm wanting to stand here along with you all as well. For years praying about certain things. For years praying things would happen. Things would be... And we're beginning to see those things to fall in place. And I'm telling you, there's so much joy in my heart when you start to see God putting things together and making things happen that you've been praying for and praying for and praying for. Why? Because we believed in God. We believed that he would do it. And now he's beginning to do it and we're giving him all the praise. But we can't begrudgingly go through life until he does that. We can't be those Christians that only praise God when things go our way. We need to praise God when things don't go our way. And to be thankful for him. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Be strong. And I believe there's a spiritual truth in this, that if we would tell ourselves to be strong in the Lord, he would give us strength. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that when we're weak, we admit our weakness. Hey, God, I'm feeling weak. Bring your strength into my life. I believe God is faithful to his word. He says, when you are weak, then I am strong. He is strong, focusing on him. What was the encouragement the writer of Hebrews gave? He gave scriptures. He gave the word of God. He gave the truth of God's word to the children of God. It's the truth, my friends. See, I don't have to come up with a nice little saying. I don't have to come up with some fancy little thing that sentence that, oh, that was very wise, Pastor Rod. No, no. God's word does a wonderful job of that. And if we would, like the writer of Hebrews, remind each other of what God's word says, then we will be strengthened. Go back to Hebrews. I've spent way too much time there. You're not doing your job. Therefore, I know, I'm working today. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated. What is this? Listen, I want to do a little bit of education on your Bible today. Verse 13, if you notice, most of your Bibles should do this, if it's a New King James for sure, but, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated. If you notice that word dislocated in your Bibles, is it italicized? Yes. Some say no. Okay. We'll talk after. If it's italicized, typically that means that the translator of this particular Bible, the New King James, inserted that word into the scriptures to bring greater clarity. It is not found in the original, so this scripture says this, so that what is lame may not be. Get it? So that what is lame may not be. In other words, those who are downtrodden, those who are weak, those whose knees are feeble, listen, if they make their path straight, if they focus on the Lord and they go in a certain direction, again, running the race, that they will not be faint-hearted, that they will not be lame. They'll be able to move or to help one another keep moving. And that's what the scripture is saying, but rather be healed. And the reason I bring attention to this is, this is the last part of this point, the focus here is, here's God's heart. God's heart is that you will be healed, my friends. God's heart is that you will be strengthened in such a way that you can continue to walk that walk. So, in other words, he's saying, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be, but rather be healed. Those things in your life that have happened, those things that have happened in your past that are holding you back and hindering you, that those would be the very things God would use to heal you from, to deliver you from, and to encourage you in. It should be an encouragement to all of us that our past faults have been covered over, that our past mistakes have been forgotten. God does not focus on those things as much as you do. He doesn't. He wants you to be healed. He wants the same thing for you and for me, that we would be strengthened physically to endure walking with him. And that's the first point. First, preventive maintenance requires me to maintain my physical condition. Next, it helps me maintain my spiritual motivation. My spiritual motivation. And this one, we'll never get to point three. This one here, to me, is the heart of this message. Look at verse 14. Pursue peace with all nice people. What's the matter? Pursue peace with all lovely people. Again, if you're learning, the word people in that verse, is it italicized? It is, except for hers. Listen, pursue peace with all. All. Pursue peace with all. Listen, this is so amazing. Our spiritual motivation from God is that we would pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Here's the saying. I don't see God working in my life. I don't see where God's working in my life. Listen. There's a process that we have to have in our Christianity, is that we are pursuing peace, pursuing, going after it. I know it. We all want peace. right? Who doesn't want peace? The peace that surpasses understanding. Doesn't that just sound good? It's like, yes, that's what I want. When is it going to come? That's the thing, right? We're still in the context of running. And runners, listen, runners pursue to be in the front, right? Runners pursue to have the best pace. In fact, there's believers in this church that fight over the best pace. But we won't go into that. Runners pursue the finish line. Runners pursue the prize. There's a pursuit. There is a going after, pursuing, acquiring, seeking after. This is what we must do as Christians. Peace doesn't just fall out of the sky. That would be nice. But it's like, Lord, where's your peace? You have to pursue it. Pursue it. Paul said time and time in almost every single one of his New Testament letters, he says this. I'll show it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, but he does it in most all of his letters. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the heart of the Apostle Paul to many of the churches? That God's grace would be experienced in your life, that when God's grace is experienced in your life, it follows the peace. See, when you experience the grace of God in your life, the forgiveness of God in your life, the goodness of God in your life, then there should be peace for that fact and that fact alone, not the circumstances. Peace should be there because of the grace of God. And that's what I love about the Apostle Paul. Peace comes into your life when God's grace is upon your life. Saved by grace through faith. Is there grace in your life? Do you have the grace of God in your life? Or are you trying to obtain it? Are you trying to get it? See, God's grace isn't something that we pursue. God's grace is there for those who accept. It's free. And when we get that grace, then that peace comes. Do you have grace of God in your life? Psalm 34, verse 14, overhead. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I believe this verse is very wisely putting in perspective what we must do before peace comes. We must depart from evil. We must keep our hands away from sin. We must keep our hands away from those things that we know dishonor God. So that has to be first and foremost. Depart from what is evil and do good. What is doing good? It's doing what you know is right. It's doing what you know is godly. Has God taught you anything? Has the Spirit taught you anything? Has the Word taught you anything? Has this church taught you anything? Then what is good? Certainly the top three I always think is read your Bible, pray, and be nice to people. Love God, certainly. I mean, do good. Do something good in your life. Then that peace will come. Seek after it. Pursue it. And here's the problem. He adds, with all people. See, I can pursue peace. I want to be at peace. I want to be at peace with the people I love and the people I like and the people I get along with. But it's the ones that hurt me that I don't want any peace for. There's the problem. And I want to make sure nobody goes to Facebook in the next 10 minutes. Because last night I put a picture of me wearing a helmet as I was snowboarding in Colorado. Yeah. Because my wife loves me. I wore the helmet. I put a picture on there, and an old friend put something on there that was very negative about me wearing a helmet on a ski slope. That's why I don't want you going to Facebook, because I don't want you to go looking for this. And let me tell you, everything inside me wanted to respond back in a negative way. And I started. I pulled it up, comment. And my hands were on the keyboard, and I'm like... I wanted to say, I didn't wear my helmet for you. I did, but I was. This is what I believe. I believe immediately God says, and don't take this out of context, but God goes, you're a pastor. I'm like, darn it. This morning I wake up. I get on Facebook. Somebody from our church put on there, Pastor Rob, don't worry about that, dude. I'm glad you wore your helmet. I'm like, yes! Spiritual principle, pursue peace with all people and find somebody else to fight your battle. Just kidding. I'm not. Because God fights our battles. It's His job to repay. It's our job to pursue peace, no matter how hard it is. Did Jesus not say, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God"? Blessed are the pure in heart. It's like what's coming on the outside might not be what's on the inside, but we have to make sure that we're pure in our hearts. And it might take us a while to get there. You might have to have those thoughts, "I'll get them," before you step and go, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." It's like, please, people, trust in God. Trust He will fight your battles. And let's just go to John chapter 4, and let's read. John chapter 4, verse 1. I can't get through a three-point sermon anymore. In one message. Worship goes way too long. Just kidding. John 4, verse 1. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, yep, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw water.'" And the purpose I want us to read this is that Jesus is the one who gives us the ability to be at peace with people. When he's talking about this fountain of water, living water, it means that out of our lives can flow things that will be of positive influence in other people's lives. He's the source of your peace. He is peace. Jesus is that one. So in other words, if we're going to fight against the effects of our flesh wanting to respond negatively and not be at peace with all people, it's because we're not spending time at the well. We're not spending time at the feet of Jesus on our knees, praying and asking, "God, help me." Because what did Jesus say? He said, "Love your enemies. Love them. Pray for those who use you and persecute you. Pray for them." Why? Because it changes us and it frees us from the bondage of bitterness, right? That root of bitterness that we'll talk about next week will build up if we don't take care of this heart of peace. So certainly we want the peace in our own life. You want peace in your life, but you have to go out and pursue it, and you have to become at peace with your God before you can show peace to others. Preventative maintenance. So important. We have to practice these things so that we're ready to respond when God gives us the opportunity. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we're grateful, God, that you have not left us here on this earth to our own whims, but you have given us the very words of God that correct us and direct us, keep us on the path that leads to you. I pray, God, that as we've studied this area, that it's so knit into our hearts, so much that we believe that we're to be strong and trust in you, that we've been encouraged this morning, that though everything around us might be falling apart, that there's one thing that can be sure, and that can be our relationship with you that's sure, steadfast, and strong. So I pray for myself and for others this morning that if they're feeling weak, if their hands are weary, if their knees are feeble, God, I pray that they would draw close to you, that we would draw close to your presence, and that you would speak to our hearts, that we would confess that we failed, that we would confess our weakness. We would confess our anger, our bitterness, our sin. We would confess it before you and be freed from it and be sent out to be used. Peace pursuers, Lord. Let us be those that find peace. Let us be those who give peace. Let us be those who are known because of our love for you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.